Rachi, did you have something you asked?
I don't see the reason why he says there is a dark soul.
In Revelation chapter 23, we give representation of the dark soul as the balance. It's what the angels are trying to come to quench. They are coming to seize or to encapsulate the dark soul. And the reason they have to is because man, as God, in a little form, is tricked in this dark soul less than place. So that's why we lovingly refer to Bob as the dark soul, so he can be the expatriation of extended man.
Is extended man moving toward ascension?
Yes, and the mechanical bride fucks like a virgin.
You're talking about the dark souls. You're not being precise on the function of it for the angels.
Yes, we did. It's the thing they're trying to quench. They want to keep you as a little man, because then they don't have anything to do. If you're a god, they have to yield. They don't want the job.
We were trying to get you to say that last week. Now you said it this week. That's good. So they're looking for a little man. They're looking for a little man.
No, they know where the little men are. They're trying to keep the little man. They want to make sure what they're looking for is those that find a way out of little mandom. Like Bob. So he's that dark soul. He's got to get
the
way.
The dark soul is the one that's getting free of the angels. So that's a whole new take on it.
Yeah, and those angels are just trying desperately to get Bob on an airplane.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun.
There is no more golf. Then you should know there is no more little men.
It was bought by Standard Oil of Ohio.
<That's funny. laughs> You can claim that one, Roxy. You evoked that answer. Very good.
You did. It was great. Not to be confused with Standard Oil of California.
This is Mark from San Diego, first-time caller. Ian, I've been listening to the archives and picking up things you said, which I think you mentioned you're literal, so there's a reason why you make these comments. And a couple months ago, you brought up Johnson Matthey, and you said, Johnson Matthey says, sell silver. But
yes.
You didn't say, Ion says, sell silver.
That's correct.
Would it be a good assumption that Johnson Matthey is experiencing shortages in the ore and the physical silver to sell?
No.
Since they buy silver, I could see where they would want people to sell it.
They don't buy silver, they sell it.
But they refine the ore.
They're the largest refinery in the world.
What I was thinking is that the prices are pretty depressed right now, so if they're saying sell silver, that makes sense. Because they want to pick it up cheaply. Am I totally off on that?
Not totally.
Could you please explain why you brought that up at that time?
Many were making choices to hide their assets in the commodity of silver. And we say, sell. Don't buy.
Okay. Don't sell, buy.
No. The bid price is down 0.27%, $20.89 each. If you have it, get rid of it. Don't own it. If you don't have it, don't buy it.
If you can tell everything about me, you know that I'm a big investor in silver.
We know. We say and said it.
Oh, man. Okay.
And you should short it. Okay, if you don't believe it, short it. That's the way to solve that.
Well, hasn't the price been shorted enough already?
You have no idea. You have no idea.
Oh, really?
You'd be better in rough rice today than in silver.
Well, you know all about me. I bought silver at 43, large quantities, and here it is at 2089. Would you say the same thing for gold?
We did already.
Okay. I guess I missed
you said
that.
So, Mark, what was that number? It was, and where is it now? Say those numbers again.
Well, in 2011, as it was climbing up to $49 by May 1st of 2011, I went in and started buying large amounts of physical silver. My average price was $43 an ounce. And so I have gradually watched it decline down to, as Ion mentioned, $20.89.
Did you get into silver because you were listening to John Stadtmiller and these guys who get people to panic and then the gold silver?
Yeah, Bill Murphy. I listened to a lot of guys, Lyndon LaRouche. He didn't say buy silver. But it just makes sense that the currency, it appears the occurrence, our currency is going to collapse.
No, you should ask Ion why it's not going to collapse.
Okay, Ion,
good reasons.
First of all, Lindy did not say buy silver. Lindy said, don't worry about buying silver because the Queen's going to steal it from you anyway.
Okay.
Right. Lindy is LaRouche.
They're talking about, we'll tell you a little scenario. This went along for a bit. And you can cue up some folks that participated in this, but some of them did extremely, magnificently well. We do like platinum because you can consume platinum. Gold hasn't gone up or down since Jesus. The same. It's never gone up or down a penny. Money got more or less expensive. That's all it's
true. True.
All right? Silver isn't even stepped down off of that. That's the poor man's doubloon, if that's the way you want to lay it out. But that's okay. You can just move more units of it. It does have the precipity to go up or down, or precipitous to go up or down, maybe a little faster. But it goes high fast and goes low fast, no question. All right, we had a situation where we had gold was going through the roof. Gold, $40 million an ounce or some ridiculous, crazy figure. Well, it got started and we said buy.
Right.
But we said not because gold's going up and down. We said buy. And then one fine day it rolled along and we said, okay, swap it for platinum. They swapped an ounce of gold for platinum and got paid $206 to boot. There was three little windows. We moved it around twice, but they'd have a chance to get it done. That's a day you want to remember. And they still hold their platinum, and they still are happy.
Yeah,
very happy.
Well, could you please explain why the U.S. currency will not collapse?
It's fiat already anyway. If you can't collapse something, it's already dead. You do realize that with the QE 9,278, that they are literally printing money to buy the bonds to print the money.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, so you have a fiat money that everybody's trading. Well, you don't even have fiat money anymore. Now you should buy ACH transfers. That's the virtual reality.
Yeah. So they're just going to keep printing and printing and the money.
No, they're not. They don't even print anymore. They don't even do Federal Reserve grade screen anymore.
Electronic digits.
It's not even digits. It's a PayPal-ish world. There's no real money in PayPal. There's no real money out of PayPal. People all over the world adore PayPal because it's has the easiest or least amount of restriction.
Right.
Yeah, well, if you're going to talk about this, there's no paper money. Yeah, there's no paper money, but there's lots of exchange going on. And you need to clarify the difference of what you're saying money's
well,
not.
Yeah,
well,
that's the, not.
Well, there's a lot of debt going on, but
that's what money is.
Well, I know, but the base money.
Wait a minute, hold on. It is not base money. That's debt, too. You have to sell bonds in order to. Okay, so.
I know, Ion. Yeah.
No, Mark. Let's pursue it. Yeah,
don't know.
Reach
state
what you think you know.
There's stuff you're missing. That's right.
Yeah.
Ion,
what I'm curious about is the people that are buying bonds. People are buying bonds to keep the government going.
No, they're not.
Then why the heck are they buying bonds? What good are bonds for anymore?
They're trying to convert it for their money.
They convert bonds, so...
They're making their bonds money.
So if you have so much in bonds, that's an asset. regardless of whether it has any value?
No, it doesn't have any value, honey. You put bonds because you want the bond to be safe. You're paying to buy a bond so that your money will be held in stasis or safe. And it's not, but that's what you're paying for. Just like you soon will have to pay the bank to take your money. Because what you see as an asset, the banker man sees as a liability.
So the government has no money. Why is the bond a safe place to put your money if the government has no money to pay you back?
Well, they can print more.
Well, that's hardware. That's money. That's hardware money, not digital money.
But we find it astounding, just beyond words, that you would have this question when you already owe $17.5 trillion.
Let's not get into that. It doesn't matter that we owe it. It's still going to be printed. It's still going to be exchanged. And we're trying to define what virtual money is. And why is there room for bitcoins to drop in? You know, what's going on there? So Mark is asking, the collapse of the dollar, that's what the markets are worrying about all the time for the last 30 years.
Mark should worry about his loans being called, because if you're in the silver business, they won't let you be in business.
Ion, about 4 or 5 months ago, you used stronger terms than I'm going to use, but you said the Forex is screwed.
Yeah.
And you also said that expect 3 zeros to drop off the currency.
That's right.
So the biggest transaction on the Forex is the U.S. dollar. It's the most widely traded currency on the Forex, in my understanding. Is that correct?
That's correct. Well, some days the yuan is higher.
Wouldn't that suggest that the U.S. dollar is going to fail or get screwed in the on the Forex market?
No, we're saying the Forex market itself.
Okay, people are just not going to have confidence in the currency trading any longer. I know they're under investigation.
They already don't. I know. The only reason they're doing it is for fear. And now they have to keep trading to pay what they owe. He's a good one, Bob.
I got someone who's reasonably normal, sane, and speaks and has a good sounding phone.
Don't,
you got a good phone, Mark.
Yeah, don't go into the Alibaba, Baba, Baba, Baba. But go ahead.
My question would be.
Careful.
Okay. I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
We won't let you. That's the reason we said don't go to France, Alibaba, Baba, Baba, Baba.
Can I ask
Saudi Arabia?
Ask your question, Mark. Don't get thrown by. Just keep asking.
A couple weeks ago, a Russian economic high level individual met with, I believe it was Prince Bandar, over in Saudi Arabia. Were they discussing selling oil in other currencies than the U.S. dollar?
I think Ian said that's not the question to ask.
Okay, that's
well,
he said, don't be doing the Alibaba dooba dooba.
Yeah, but I said do it anyway, so we find out. We get clarified. For some reason, that's too hot for Ion.
No, it's not. He's done with that. He's going to tell you and let y'all sort it out. Here you go. Back when they made the deal, when Tricky Dick Nixon strolled into it, says, boys, you can sell all the oil you want. You can sell every barrel of oil there is, all the oil. Any oil, you can have all the money, as long as forever and until you sell the oil in U.S. dollars. You can have it all. And so now they're having conversation to say, but you know what? Why can't we do it in rupees?
So you're saying the Americans can't, the dollar people can't control it and limit like Nixon did? I bet you're not saying that, because the dollar will continue to dominate despite these moves.
Of course it will.
The dollar's never going to die. And you know that part, Mark, is because China invested in America 200 or 300 years ago, and they're not going to let it fall.
But you know, China and Russia are dumping their treasuries. And that's
why they have to.
Why do they have to, Ion? What factors are we not considering and understanding they're dropping that?
Your new civilization is not going to take it.
That's right. We're pretty influential, Mark. That's the thing you got to tell your buddies. They won't believe you, but
you're
talking
to
central headquarters here. Now, do you think I'm bullshitting? No, Mark,
no.
How real do you consider what you're talking to here?
Very real.
Okay, good.
So that's why I'm very concerned, is because, you know, I have silver and gold.
Sounds like you could do what I said.
Your gold's not going to sour. It's just, what are you going to take in exchange for it? If you were starving to death, would you swap your gold for a loaf of bread?
No. That's why I thought silver would be a good...
Well, then you're dead. Then you're done, because you won't live long enough to do it anyway. So, question asked and answered.
But wouldn't that be a reason for silver dimes and quarters and half dollars being a form of trade?
If someone will take them. But if they don't have any money, what will they take them for?
Bob has said a few times that RNA drops are going to be the new currency.
They are the only currency.
So that's not just a joke. That's
that's serious. I'm the richest person in the world. With a little bit of help from Carolyn.
Yeah. And I...
Well, no, she's the accountant. She counts how many bad stuff every time he wastes $100,000 worth of shoes.
Yeah, Carol's old-fashioned. She's trying to, you know, keep the old kind of visual space bookkeeping sanity, but we don't let that bother us over in this part of the room. And JW is very involved in this. I mean, I have been saying for several years now that all the gold's been gathered up and being shipped to Bob. Personally, Mark, I have not seen that gold yet, but I can understand why it's going to happen, because what we're selling is the most valuable substance in the world, and we're making even more valuable substance. That's why it would be the currency.
Right.
You want to survive, so you buy silver, gold, and protect, so you can get some money to buy food. Well, if it doesn't buy food, that's one thing. But if the drops give you eternal health and life and abundance more than food does, all you want is the drops, and you don't need to get the gold to get the money to buy the bread. You get the living water. So that's how it's, I understand, that's how it's the currency.
Yeah.
It's more direct to survival than buying gold.
I understand exactly what you're saying. Ion, as far as silver, is the time frame short on getting rid of it before the price totally collapses?
Hey, Ion,
no.
Can I answer that? It won't happen to you. You know, you go forward and make your moves, and the whole world collapses, but you'll be able to sell it. Wouldn't be that the correct attitude about making it happen, Ion? That it wouldn't, a fault in the process happening to him, he should not consider. He'll be able to get rid of it.
His problem is he's not selfish enough. You should be more selfish.
I know what that word means, but I'm trying to relate it to...
No, you don't. Tell us what it means.
Be more concerned about myself than others.
Not concerned, but more. To hold your regard or esteem higher than anyone else's.
Okay.
Don't worry about whether or not if you dump your position, it's going to affect the market. Drive the market. Well, you wouldn't be asking the question of how long before it's over for me.
That question was related to, you know, do I have a week, 30 days, 6 months?
You have to triangulate it.
Okay.
Triangulating is a whole secret process you got to learn from Ion. And
I know. I've listened to all that, and I don't understand it. I know that you have two known points, and you try to find the third.
Yeah, you pick a bit of it, about it from cash flow, but you have to have a private session with Ion, you know, many hours to get it. So I don't see the usefulness of Ion saying you need to triangulate unless I mean some real simple triangulation or something. But why would you bring that up? Are you just saying he can't get it, Ion, because he's not going to have a private session to find out?
We didn't mean that at all. He's powerful enough, he could probably arrange it, but that's not the point. The point is he's asking a simple question. We're going to ask you a few simple questions, and maybe we can help triangulate it for you. How about that?
Sounds good.
You had some monies.
Yes.
Notice we said in past tense, you had some monies.
Right.
And you took these monies, and you decided, you woke up one day before asking us or talking to us and decided it was a real good idea to divest yourself of the fiat money and to buy the cats.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided that the market was going to be going because pussy cats were going to last. Pussy was going to rule the world. And all there would really be is pussy. So you were going to control the pussy market. And you were going to participate in pussy because it moves the world. It's the climate that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in your chase or conquest of pussy, you've gotten a lot of it, you see. And now you're deciding, and you're asking the question, how long before they're giving pussy away for free,
mm-hmm,
that I'm so heavily vested into. Our question kind of becomes, is the decider for your decision to buy it was driven by an impetus. Please describe that impetus that said, hey, it's a real good idea to own this.
I looked at the logic of, for the argument that money currency was going to fail and that we would have to institute a new system. And
good.
That would be backed by silver or gold.
Silver
and gold have been used as money for 5,000 years.
No, they have not been.
Well, off and
they
on.
They haven't been. But not even off and on. It's practically illegal now to use gold as money. Are you nuts?
Well, in Utah, you can.
Well, who wants to live in Utah?
I know. Ian, I know they've used tally sticks and they've used other forms, but I would say the gold and silver, and you know better, over the last 5,000 years has been used more often than other currencies. Is that a correct statement?
Probably. The only thing that would trump that would probably be oral sex, swapping that. That's been much more prolific, for sure.
Right. Right.
No question.
Okay, so the impetus, yeah, I told you the impetus to buy in the first place, so I'm listening here.
Do you feel that was based on an appropriate premise? Did you concur and agree with that position?
I did.
Do you still concur and agree with it?
Well, I'm starting to have doubts because of the losses I've incurred. I haven't sold
you
more.
You hadn't lost the thing. See, that's the point. See, here's the problem. If you bought the silver because money was going to go bad, how can you be sad if it's lost value, which means that the money went bad?
I know, but you're telling me that the money's not going to go bad and that the silver will go bad.
It won't go bad. It'll be just as it was. So you're saying if we could exchange it and make money good, that you'd get more for it? No. Money's getting better. That's why the price went down. It's a hedge. It's an inflation hedge. You're using it as the money, and it's never more than a hedge. It's a lamber. You know a lamber?
Not really.
Okay. In the high-rolling Vegas casinos, when the chips won't hold, they bring out the lambers. Money that's in stand of something.
Okay.
You can go up to $1 million chip. Now, they're bars, flat bars that you can mm-hmm. use and pay $1 million a hand, known as a lamber. And you can adjust that value based on whatever they say. Okay? No problem. That's because it's standing in the stead of the money, the chip. Well, that's what you're saying the silver does. It stands in place of the chip. So if money goes up or money goes down, silver doesn't go up or down. It's just how much money it'll bring or won't bring. So basically, the reason you bought the silver was because money was going down. Well, it has.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. So the reason that you bought the silver would be a good enough reason to keep the silver, would it not?
Yes, if I consider my own assessment of the situation.
Your own assessment is what got you into this rabbit hole, is it not?
Yes.
Well, if you trusted yourself to make that purchase, why would you not trust yourself to keep it?
That's a good point.
You haven't lost anything. Do you require those silver coins to eat?
No.
Well, will they sour?
No.
Do you have a choice to swap it into another fiat currency?
I have a choice, yes.
Do you have to make that choice today?
No.
Is silver going to go up in the next 129 and a half days?
I don't know.
We do.
I think it should.
Okay. Did you buy that silver to make a gain?
No, I bought it to preserve.
Hold on.
Purchasing.
Just stop. That's enough. You didn't buy it to make a gain, so you haven't made current loss. You still have your silver, don't you?
I sure do, yes.
So you didn't lose a thing?
No.
You still have your silver for another day. But now, it would be amazing to us that you would be willing to take. It was good enough to make the decision to divest yourself of your monies and put it into silver, to now turn right around and take it out of silver and go back into your fiat monies. It's ridiculous. It's the very thing that's been the problem with dealing in precious metals all along anyway. It's only pretty gold. If the world were made of gold, men would die for a handful of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the chase. It's just the chase. And that's why Bob says you're ridiculous and inappropriate in every way, because your whole premise is flawed. You're running around here trying to say money is, but money isn't in the first place. You can't say it's going to fall because it never was. Money never was. It was a false creation proceeded from the heat-oppressed brain. Is this a dagger which I see before me, the handle toward my hand? That's all it ever was. And you don't even have to be a fatalist to figure that one out. Get on with this process. And what we would say do, if to make you feel better, is throw it in the garbage. Throw it away. Have a load. Do you have a 40-foot Lancy container of silver yet? You do. Chuck it in the ocean. That'll solve it. Then we'll be settled with that little issue. But if not, enjoy your silver. Craft it into a nice teapot. You can never have too many good, chaste silver pots. Then it would actually have a function. And you could rub it and love it and enjoy it all the days of your life. Then it's a good reason to have it. And all of a sudden, we're having a very different conversation, because it's not that you're separating yourself from your life force. It's like, hey, I took some bad money that wasn't worth anything. I converted it into some silver, and now I'm going to swap it into maybe some antique silver. Send all your silver to the fields of Bushalante and have them crafted into candelabras. They fetch about $100,000 apiece.
Okay.
Are you aware?
No, I wasn't.
Bushalante. Send your silver to Bushalante.
Okay.
Have them craft it for you.
Okay.
They only put out one piece. They do a different craftsman. Only put out one piece a year. They take the silver into their woods, and they craft a piece. And sell one piece a year.
Right.
You're saying right, but you're missing the point. The point is, turn your silver into something that somebody wants, and then all of a sudden you can get what you need. That's like bread when you don't want it to rise. You're trying to make it more even, cohesive. And the reason you've made these choices is for a purpose. And you're saying it was not to make gain, it was to stop loss. And we say that silver has done just that. You have stopped loss because you still have your silver.
Right. I understand what Ian is saying, and I would like to pursue, if I can, pursue some issues a little further with Ian.
Yeah, keep going. You're interesting. At least you're talking about something interesting to somebody.
Ian, I've heard you mention that even though you can't speak angel language and summon angels, it doesn't mean that they're not intervening in your life.
Yes, you can. You certainly can. We said just don't be angry when you do it.
The question is, if you can't fucking do it, Ion, if you don't do it, do they intervene in your life anyways?
No.
When you die, they do. When you transition is when
they
do intervene.
You in the transition.
But that's what you ask. You ask them in death?
Yeah, that's after death. Before death,
right.
If you don't ask, They do not involve themselves with you if you do not ask.
They can.
Because I think I said recently, they keep you in line.
Yeah, but when he says they can, you got to learn how to talk. They can, but generally they don't. Right, Ion? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
That's right. But every single time without failure exception, that's not the case.
Right.
Sometimes that gets you pregnant.
Well, Ion, has an angel or angels ever intervened in my life?
Yes.
Can you tell me the last time?
On the Santa Monica Freeway.
Do you live in California, Mark?
I'm in San Diego.
Okay, so you'd be on the Santa Monica Freeway.
Well, I haven't been on it for several years, but...
You have. So it's not far off what Ian's saying.
Yeah. Now, Ian, here's a specific question. Were angels involved in an incident with me in Norfolk, Virginia in 1976?
Angels and some other things, yes.
That's what the other things are, Mark.
Tell me, explain what the other things are or were.
No, you need to develop it a little bit because we can take you further than you want to go. So as you develop it, that sets parameters for how far that you want to keep your private things private in this very public forum. So develop your story a little bit, and then we'll open it.
To me, it means what I'm saying is that if you start talking, they can read your frequency, orientation, and they figure out.
No.
You don't mean that?
No, it's not what we mean at all. Some people say they say, rip me open, Ion, give it all, lay it out. And then we start talking about their inside, innermost things, and all of a sudden they're like, oh. And they're like a gasp because we would actually be bold.
Yeah, okay, we got that. But you're asking him to develop it. Does that mean for him to talk so you can judge what he can take?
No, it's to see how far he wants the information. He asked for it, but he's not really asking for it like this. So as he develops the story, then we'll know how far he can.
Yeah, so you're saying, you just want him to ask questions.
Uh-huh.
You want me to develop the story then?
Yeah,
ask questions.
Well, to make a long story short, I was in the Marine Corps.
No hurry.
Our ship pulled into Norfolk, Virginia, which is a Navy town. A buddy of mine and I go to a dance place. That's in the days when a popular dance was the bump. And I walk by the dance floor, and there's this attractive girl dancing with a guy. And as she did the out move on the bump, I walked by and gave her a slight bump and kept on walking and went to my table. A few minutes later, this pretty good-sized black guy came over and said he wanted me to see me outside. So I go outside with my buddy, and there's about eight guys out there, and some of them are taking their shirts off. I mean, they were ready to, go to it.
Rumble.
They were ready to rumble.
They were going to take you to the white meat.
Yeah, the guy that was, the black guy had nothing to do with it, but the guy who I bumped his girlfriend's during that dance, he went and got the enforcer and made up some story, which his girlfriend, the black guy's girlfriend, went along with and said I called her names. I mean, this guy's, he's got an army behind him. He's fired up. And I just calmly looked him in the eye and told him that she was not telling the truth. You know, I wasn't afraid. I didn't give it much thought, and I don't even know how it ended. We just kind of both, all of us walked away. And when the big guy gave the signal, all his guys turned around and walked back in the club. And I've thought about that in the past, in past years, going, what happened there?
His name was Monroe.
Okay.
And he decided that she was not telling the truth, and he suspected it. But that's what stopped your beatdown.
Yeah. So
wait, it didn't tell anything.
Monroe
that stopped. Yeah.
Monroe.
Hey, Ion, come on. Monroe decided that she was lying, and that made the fight go away?
No, Bob.
Oh, wait, you mean after. Monroe after decided that Mark was correct. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so when did he decide that? After Mark stared at Monroe or someone else?
When he was outside?
No, I think he listened to what I had to say, and this must have happened previously, and he actually looked at her and said, is he telling the truth, and you better tell me the truth? And she came clean, and everything just dissipated.
Well, that's the reason, because they caught her lying, and that's what Ian just said. It was a simple reason. She admitted she was lying. There was no fight.
Okay, but
that's not a good. It was not a good enough reason to fight in the first place. So it wasn't a good enough reason to stop fighting. They could still beat the shit out of him just for shits and giggles.
Was Renault the guy dancing with the girl?
No, he was the colleague.
Who was he?
He was the enforcer. These guys went and got him because he was their big tough guy.
The El Jefe.
Yeah. In the beginning, you said that when I gave you the date and the location, you said that angels could have been involved.
They could have been.
Were they involved?
No, it was a watcher.
Okay.
So he's citing the wrong incident in terms of angels' involvement in his life.
The angel happened 2 days later.
Can you help me remember that incident?
Well, except for you were a little bit too intoxicated to remember, weren't you?
I'm not recalling that.
Ta-da!
Yeah, you can't recall, but would you have been drinking 2 days later? Was it like a week of time off or something?
Well, we were, Marines on a Navy ship don't have a lot of responsibility, so we were there for 3 or 4 days.
So you would have drunk again?
Yeah, probably. But I don't know the situation that Ian is referring to.
He hasn't said it yet. Why would the angels show up at that point?
What he's trying to describe occurred, and this is why we want him to develop it. It's because if we go into it and we blow it out, we're being very intricate and personal and maybe too personal, and it's not what he wanted to go to. See, we're getting to 2 days later. We fast forward the clock. He'd think it's about some little titty-ass bump, somebody called a problem or something. There was nothing. That wasn't the point at all. 2 days later, picture it, Norfolk, Virginia Beach. It was a great, great, great night. It was great fun. Much libation did ensue. It was wonderful. And he almost got caught into a sign of a riff. And it did, in that particular case, take an angel. He woke up wet. He was wet. And the reason he was wet was not because they dashed water on him or that he fell into the sea. It was that they had to drag him back from another world, basically.
He was wet in another world.
Yeah.
And the rift, the rapid spinning of the water happened in another world?
Yes. That's what the angel had to stop.
Okay.
Did the angel drag him back to this world?
Yes. Howard.
I see. The angel intervened. He would have drowned over in the other world.
Drowned or had his molecules obliterated.
So does that sound familiar? Do you think you were ever on the beach in that period in Norfolk?
Do
you ever have your cells obliterated? Did that work? Your cellular obliteration, does that ring a bell?
No, wait a minute. Is there a beach in Norfolk? Do you know about that?
Well, sure. It's right on the water.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so there's a beach. And he's saying that you would not remember any of this. Then that's possible. You would have been drunk and partying.
Well, I was never that far out of it that I would not remember anything, but especially if I was wet.
Yeah, but if you went to another world, you would block that.
Yeah, I don't remember any of that, so.
You asked if an angel intervened then, and we're saying maybe, because we had to develop it to see how far. Now we told you, we answered your question, and you don't recall. So you got the answer to your question.
Okay.
Now, would you like to go back and do it again? I can arrange that.
You mean go through the experience?
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
You sure? Not a problem. The least we can do, really.
No, that's good. That's quite
all right. So what's
interesting,
Ion?
Rebirth is our specialty.
He did have memory of the angel because for that week, 4 days he was there, he knows he interacted with an angel, part of his being done.
Right.
And he projected it into the fight scene because he couldn't remember the other scene.
Right.
Yeah, but the fact that you misplaced the angel fact, which you knew you had, you thought it was with the intervention with that. You see what I'm saying, Mark?
Yes,
it's
I do.
That's why we couldn't just say yes, no, no, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
We do many times. We do many times. But we had to catch you up to where it was because it was a line, a definitive line in the sand. If we said, no, 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 you just had indigestion, then that's a significant experience in your life that you'll want to draw
right.
to. And say the word, and you're back there, so please yourself.
No, I don't want to go back there. Can I ask another question on gold? Probably 6 months ago, I believe you were talking to Andrew.
Andrew, we love it, some Andrew.
I think he was asking you if you can turn lead into gold. And you said, why would you want to do that? Just go to another world and get some.
Correct. How do you think Johnson Matthey cornered the world market in refining?
Yeah.
Yeah, LaRouche missed
the great separation.
Hey, Mark, LaRouche missed that part of the history of the British oligarchy. Didn't have that in Dope Inc.
Yeah, them damn oligarchs.
Now, Ian, is that technique being used today to buy... Okay.
In other words, it is, Mark, and we've developed, back when Michael Jackson died, Ion named the four firms that handle the parallel world economy, I call it. And
yeah.
We did a lot on that, and it's actually probably getting more, because more people are figuring it out and doing it.
Do.
That would make sense why they could suppress the price by not only dumping paper contracts, but physical metal into the marketplace.
Yeah, and also explains why Madoff could get away with what he was doing since 1979 and nobody complaining or noticing.
Right. But they don't have total control, or it would have never gone from, you know, $35 an ounce all the way to 1923 or whatever it peaked.
Okay, ask Ion. Ask, you know, don't assume they would never do it. Ask that. Find out if Ion agrees with what your sentiment is there.
Ion, have they been suppressing the gold market, I know you don't do time, but for many moons? When I say they, would it be the large banks and the Federal Reserve?
No. You keep giving all the money to the oligarchs. Stop it. The Federal Reserve is nothing. They are in the worst of all the troubles. If you look at the Board of Governors, they look very nervous in the service these days. They are absolutely beside themselves, as it were, because they don't know what to do next. They won, but what did they win, you see?
Right. So it would be the Chinese suppressing the price, I would believe, because they're a big buyer of gold.
Big buyers do not a suppressor make. Big holders drive a market.
So this would be the St. Martin.
You are confused. San Martin. We like
San Martin and
hold on. These players that you are referring to have no interest in your fiat money. If they are a holder for gold, they buy gold because that's what they would hold no matter what. And it makes no difference what the up or down or over and under is about. You humans, you come into these ridiculous predisposed positions to where you decide that everything has to be a driving force that moves a market that causes an itch to scratch. The scratch, more times than not, causes the itch. You can have a real collector who has a good or bad day. move the market at his will. Bob does it all the time. Don't you find it glib how Bob says, yes, I have all the gold in the whole wide world. Now, I've not seen it. I've not rubbed it. I don't know. I do use $100,000 worth of renew in the bathtub, but beyond that, I really don't know. I really don't know what you're talking about, because this is just phatic chatter, and the mechanical bride is orgasming, and the next thing you know, we're going to take it up to the Gutenberg galaxy, and then it's all going to be quite LaRouchean after that. Then we'll get to the Thompson Quadrant, and it'll all be nervously wrong, so don't worry.
Listening to the archives, you were talking to Brian. I think it was on his favorite subject.
The lampstand. Bob, isn't it interesting how people vicariously have started living their lives through the INET?
Yeah.
You know, that happens.
They ponder with Brian. I'm going to work on the lampstand's problem with Brian today, is what they think. Yeah.
You, it's amazing how you get involved in this and you tend to know the characters. Or you know of them. But anyway, you mentioned to Brian, I think he was through with his questioning, and you made the statement that I will answer Brian's questions for 1,260 days.
That's correct.
And that is 42 months, and that has significance in the Bible in chapter 11. The two witnesses were alive for 42 months, witnessing, I guess, and I haven't been through the Revelation series. So, and I've picked up that the two witnesses refer to duality.
And Hendiades.
Hendiades is one by means of two. Is that what the way he should say duality, Ian? Are you adding also that Hendiades duality?
We're adding.
Okay, I'm gonna jump back and ask a question. When you say you will answer his questions or speak to him for 1,260 days, does that mean that you will not speak to him after that?
2 Chronicles 7, verse 3. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the reference goes into 4, which will then be cross-referenced in 1 Kings 8, 62 through 64. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen. That was because Bob really gets off on 22, and 120,000 sheep, and that's because Bob likes lamb. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priest waited on their officers, the Levites, also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood, moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, and there he offered burnt offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fats. That answers your question.
Okay, I'll have to go back and listen to that and see.
What was the question, Mark?
Well, I was asking if the reference to the 1,260 days and the 42 months referred to the two witnesses.
And he goes on and all this stuff. And
yeah, he goes.
It ain't going to help you to listen to the archives. You won't get any further. So ask him now whatever glimpses and memory you have of what he said and go with that now.
You know, I think what I'll do is next time try to develop
don't
that.
Don't think, Mark. Don't think, Mark. We're giving you an opportunity to answer because we might be interested too. So he went on about something. David, ask him, are you describing chemistry? You begin with that. Is it that's the esoteric level?
Hey, Ion, are you describing chemistry in that chapter?
No, but the reference would include 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 18.
Yeah, that's what
there
more.
Were 6 steps to
please,
the throne.
Please, Ion.
And the footstool of gold, which were fastened to the throne, and the staves on each side of the sitting place, and 2 lions standing by the staves.
Yeah, but you said the reference, use the word reference. Is it because he brought up chemistry, you're evoking that quote?
Yes.
So that what he just said refers to chemistry. So now you can work with that, Mark. Ask him what the chemical processes are, you know, name lysine, lymph nodes, chromosome, use a rigmarole, chromosome 14,
yeah.
Defy bites.
I tell you, my brain is kind of fried right now.
That doesn't matter.
That happens. Then go on to 21. Bob really gets off on 21. For the king's ship went to Tarshish with the servants of Haram. Every 3 years, once came the ships of Tarshish bringing gold and silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks.
So who's going to bother finding out what that refers to? I mean, we have substitution. We got substitution for Mark. Someone want to take it up?
And can I take it up?
Yeah, if you get specific. Take a break, Mark. Don't leave. Just take a break. You'll back.
Don't leave.
Just
take a bath. Just get a sip. Go take a piss. You'll be all right.
Mark brought up some good points. This is Kim. Is it possible that I could talk to Dr. Dean?
Dr. Dean, calling Dr. Dean, Paige, Dr. Dean.
Yes. Okay.
Hi, Carolyn. When I became aware that you were the designer of the label, I've been spending a lot of time, and I'd like to do what's called a redo, a little bit of what I said and asked you.
Don't you love it, a redo? This is just wonderful. Good.
Okay. I'm going to ask you if it's okay if I turn this, if you turn the bottle upside down, and if I can ask you what I think it is, and if you can tell me what it is, or however we're going to do this, is that okay?
Yes, but I mean, I didn't design the labels. It was mostly JW.
It was
Ion. They described them to our artist and went back and forth and back and forth with Corinthian columns, so I'm really not the person to...
Well, I think part of this, though, does involve, well, obviously you developed the white stone, but the bottom layer, you know, I thought it was a porch or step, but that is actually the top of the Ark of the Covenant, the lid, isn't it?
It's the brace.
The brace to the top of the ark. Okay, we have the angel wings on the outside.
Yeah.
And
pointing up.
Okay, when you get to right above that crown, that's the tree of life, isn't it?
It's not the tree of life. It's the tree of lysine.
Lysine, which is...
Those leaves are canvas.
Those aren't leaves, aren't what? Canvas?
A campus.
What's he saying, Karen? Campus.
A-C-A-N-T-H-U-S.
Leaf.
A campus leaf. It's a type of leaf design.
Oh, it sounds like he's saying C-A-M-P-U-S. He's saying A-K-A-N-T-H-U-S?
A-C-A-N-T-H-U-S.
Acanthus, okay. Yep.
That's why she's the sharpest machete in the shed.
Well, that's just what she studied neurotically for 30 years. That belief is a thought you've been studying a long time, so we don't give any credence to this. No, it's useful to you to put
out. Not studying, you think it. Not thinking, you thought it.
She thinks it. So, Kim, you got a canvas.
Okay, I know, and that's not getting me anywhere. But on either side of the...
yes, it is. Who said that?
Yeah, how would you know? How would you know, Kim, what you're doing? marriage.
How
yeah,
would
that's
you know
a,
what you're doing?
That's a good point.
You're not even qualified to fuck this chicken. Are you kidding?
Yeah. No, that's the main point. Everybody's listening. That's how you ask questions. You're not getting anywhere. You don't know, so you can start saying, keep saying anything you want. That's what
sure,
I do.
Tell us about it. I found a Kansas in Wiki. I'd love to. Let me tell you. It's one of the commonest plant forms to make foliage ornament and decoration. In architecture, an ornament is carved into stone or wood to resemble leaves from the Mediterranean species of the Acanthus genus of plants. So it's just a common image
in the Mediterranean that they used on the Ark.
All right.
Yeah, that's the properties of acanthus leaves.
Okay. They have deeply cut leaves with some similarity to those of the thistle and poppy. Both acanthus mollis and the still more deeply cut acanthus spinosus have been claimed as the main model. The motif is found in decoration in nearly every medium. You want more?
We want the leaf itself, not the decorating parts.
The leaf in terms of the plant?
Yes.
Okay. The leaf, acanthus.
This is so much fun. We hadn't even had to fire that chat yet either, but everybody just adores.
No, people are getting bored silly of it.
People are falling asleep. They said they were going to party all night, and they drop off, they go to sleep.
I know. It's like the most important thing in the world is for people to have their health, but it bores them to death to hear about it.
They just want to fuck to death, so go figure that one out.
Forget about it.
Hey, Carol, what makes you think that you've got something that's going to help our health?
Right. They don't. Curling acanthus-type leaves occur frequently in the borders. No, I'm not finding much about the plant itself.
Isn't that interesting? It's the most common leaf put in all of stone. It's everywhere.
It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm. It's everything a rabbit can ever want to do to a stump and eat while it's there. And there doesn't seem to be much about it. Don't you find it odd?
That's like mint kale from another world. Am I on the right track? I know you like to draw this shit out, but basically, it's from another world.
Carved death, rococo, beltered, extrapolated to the end of time, include this thing that there doesn't seem much to be about.
So you got it somewhere, Kim? What do you think of that?
Is there any life seen in acanthus?
Our Kim unveiled the secret of acanthus. She didn't have to know where she was going. Actually thought it was a stupid question. See, you don't judge anything.
It can have purplish flowers, Bob.
Uh-oh.
Hey. Yo, look out now. It's the devil.
From my world?
The devil in the deep blue sea.
No, but Ian, are you agreeing that it's from another world, or is there other ways of being special?
We just asked the question, is there life seen in acanthus? That's all we've asked.
Don't know, because they don't talk about it as a plant or a medicinal. Really, I mean, if you looked at pine or cedar or spruce, you'd find books on those plants, but nothing about, you know, I haven't looked deep, but not much.
But then you turn around and say, it's the most copied and replicated plant of all of them.
Right.
And interesting. Morticia.
So what was Kim...
tree? Sorry.
Is it a tree, Carol?
It's a perennial ornamental herb that can be 90 to 200 centimeters high. So it's not. It's a low herb.
Hey, Greg, I assume that's your making noise. If you wanted to speak,
I'm muted
all the time because there's sound coming out of you.
I'm not. It wasn't me, Bob. I'm dead quiet.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, it's... Thank you. It is a my naming day, isn't that what they call it in that movie on TV? the naming day. Anyway, so I've noticed that mechanical things in the house break, and when I give them no attention, in the matter of 5 or 6 or 10 sunrises, they're no longer broken.
But which Chapman and the merchants brought all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. They did. And you're unbroke. Go ahead.
And so, no, the unbroke is just unbroke and stays unbroke. And I just noticed 5 or 6 incidences of that happening, and gratitude toward non-physical.
Okay, great. Could that be that you shift into another world where they appear broken, and then you shift back to another world, a different world, and then they're not broken there? Have you considered that?
No, I didn't think that on repairs, but that is very viable. Or I shift the world where that mechanical thing is.
Ammonite. It's the ammonite.
Describe Ammonites.
The ones from Ammon. It's a battle between the Moabites from Moab and the Ammonites.
Describe the relationship between what you just said and mechanical things getting fixed.
There's a battle, and the battle, things get broke. And then there's not a battle, or the things get repaired, reparation.
So they drop into Greg's environment, these battle implements?
Correct. And that's just like in 2 Chronicles 21:12. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah."
We can't take all that in. You don't even know what you're saying. So another way. I guess it's for the record, for other people to look into.
Sure,
thousands
exactly.
Of years.
Very good.
You're trying to repair the temple.
Oh.
You're
who,
trying
the
to make reparations to the... Come on, Bob.
And the repairs are appearing.
Wait, you said they. We assume you mean the Arabites and the Themanites. You're talking about
the homeowner. The homeowner.
Yeah.
So, Ian, this is a relationship, a visual, a symbol of other things being repaired. Okay.
And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, "Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather all of Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hastened it not." And the king called for Jehoiada, the chief, and said unto them, "Why hast thou not required the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of the witnesses? For the sons of Atalah and the wicked woman had broken up with the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam." 2 Kings 12:4.
So all that was broken becomes whole. Got it.
Yeah.
Great. What do we learn from there? All that's broken becomes whole. That's too general. What's particular about that? Or what is it? Where's the significance?
Okay, let's look at how Jesus raised the dead, so to speak. He saw the person as whole, and they had to be whole because of the, I'll use a bad word, power that he had in Jesus' reality, that this person must be whole. So they had no choice but to become whole. So I think what Ion is referring to is that anything in my life that had been broken is being made whole.
Okay, but the more interesting thing is you got a battle happening around you. What about that? And they're arguing over how to build the temple?
I'm not sure I understand.
It's the opposition under Darius. Ezra chapter 4.
You're referring to MH17, that battle.
Yeah, maybe. But you haven't got to Passover yet, so it'll work.
Describe the significance of Passover or me taking advantage of Passover.
The playing of Vestal Goodman in your house.
Got it. Okay. The veil is thinning, the cloak is dropping, the power is returning.
You have no idea.
Good, good. Keep my mind out of it, Ion. Now, speaking of mind, a friend of mine told me a story about a woman who worked with him, and she was extremely overweight. I mean, really, you know, she was a pork barrel from the shoulders down to the knees. And she had a session with the Evergreens, and the Evergreens said, well, you made a decision, I don't know the age, but I'll make it up, when you were 21, that when you gained some weight, men stopped hitting on you, and you didn't enjoy being hit on all the time. So she goes through her life, and she's just getting bigger. Now, she got this information, let's say, when she's 40 years old, so she realized when, how, what, where, why, all the degrees of separation that she made this decision that contributed to her weight. Well, fast forward 20 years, she dies of obesity. She could not solve it. Now, this would indicate, Ion, that there's parts of the mind that do control parts of the body that are insulated from the rest of you. The body, mind, or you, or whatever. Because it would appear that this portion of her that made this decision took over and would no longer relinquish its authority over her weight. Let's describe some other scenario that could be occurring that this person could not solve and eventually died of obesity.
Nehemiah chapter 1.
Most Saturday nights, while in the middle of a show, many hours into the show, like around an hour ago, I always get George's mental doodle.
Yes.
It always comes in Saturday night, I guess.
What's this one?
The little snickerdoodle.
There it is.
Okay. That's not about the doodle. Every time I get one, immediately, I notice it pretty quickly, I write back to him. So if he's still on the computer, he should be getting this, and I've sent this, I don't know, 10 times. I go, George, why aren't you calling into Ion right now? Ion will be on for the next 5 hours. I keep telling him to call in, and he won't call in.
And he doesn't, sir.
Yeah,
He's listening. Yeah.
Well, I know. Well, he's not listening, but he's sending out his doodle, and I very quickly respond. Now, maybe the doodle goes out automatically, and he's not even there, but I was sort of hoping he'd be on his computer while sending his doodles out, and he sees Bob, quote, harassing him.
Chances are George is not on his computer. Chances are they're pre-programmed to go out at a certain time, and he's nowhere near his computer.
Okay. So then he will see my answer eventually, right?
He would know. He could talk to I on Saturday, sure.
Yeah, no,
George doesn't want to talk to Ion, Bob.
And I know. He taunts me with his mental doodles. I taunt him back with my Ion.
Very good point. Yeah, no, that's good. That's legit. Absolutely.
Food for tot, but he never answers it. He's very disciplined. He will not acknowledge the huge battle between the Amites and the Moabites.
Did you pick up that Bible thing, Ginny?
My computer's rebooting.
Oh, okay.
Which one is the chapter? Is it Nehemiah 1 or 2?
1.
Okay, the words of Nehemiah, you're going to have some of these words, the son of Halakai, and it came to pass in the month of Chizalu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that and I, one of my brethren,
we can help you with those. It's fun.
Thank you. Oh, okay. One of my brethren came, he and a certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem.
Stop right there. You guys stay with me now. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Ian.
We lose him, Bob?
Yeah, he's not there.
Carolyn, from a holistic, the new medicine point of view, here's a fairly intelligent, successful woman who gets to the reason that her mind, let's say, made this decision, and nothing she could do for 50 years of her life could stop her from dying from obesity. That would almost indicate some insulation of parts of the mind from the rest of you, your desires, your relax and allow, whatever. Wouldn't you think?
Right. In total biology, they give a nice overview of it. They give six reasons. Abandonment. Mm-hmm. Number two is aesthetic devaluation. Every time they see themselves, they get a shock that reinforces the problem.
Or the decision that she made to, go ahead.
All right, or the decision, right. Mm-hmm. Three is indigestible lack. Some people feel they lacked something as they were growing up, so they keep eating to try to digest the lack, but it becomes indigestible.
Mm-hmm.
Four, I just have fat. Five, I have identity. And six is I'm getting fed up with you. So what I would say to a person is to pursue some total biology.
And that's exactly what I dealt with very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandments, nor thy statutes, nor the judgment which thou commandest thy servant Moses. So you see, that has to do with the men that saw her in lack in the first place.
Exactly.
Good.
The men had the lack, Carolyn?
We have no idea, Bob.
Oh, you were saying exactly with a great big chew.
Well, that's when Ion comes in, and as if it's, see, I've been telling you this all the 3 minutes I've been gone, as if you're supposed to know.
The discovery of the broken wall.
Is that the saddest voice?
No, it's Sheila.
Oh, Sheila, they've got questions. They have questions.
Who's
they? Think, they think if you turn the superfluous
good question,
they.
Sheila. Good question. Who the fuck is they?
The superfluous.
You're improving, Sheila. You're starting to get more precise in your questioning. Good.
If they turn the label, Dr. Dean's label, upside down, they start to see things. Like it was driven. Is there a purpose-driven function to these artist renderings that we look at daily? Or let's say it this way. If you were looking at the artwork on the Dr. Dean's products upside down, just tell us what you would see.
That's not fair.
How very clever, eh?
We're going to have to excerpt that. Let's make a note.
Well, Sheila, I see a lion upside down with its eyes closed sitting on the throne, if you turn the bottle upside down.
I like that imagery.
Jenny said that the symbol of the lion was hydrogen.
Yep, that's right.
Could you please tell us what a campus is? Nobody seems to know in all of the world. And we are sick of having to put shit on the Wikipedia so you don't believe it.
Well, you've been mentioning acanthus leaves for years to me, and they appear regularly in what I'm creating.
We know.
I know.
It's amazing that you do it and don't look it up or know about it. You'll sleep with it, but then you find out about it. So at least give us some details. Tell us. We must know.
Well, I would like to ask the question, are there acanthus plants around the base of the Tree of Life?
Yes, there are.
Does the Tree of Life relate to the burning bush?
the information it carries does, but we did that already in Chronicles, and they sort of blew me off, so they didn't get any more of that.
Ian, is the Tree of Life from another world, another dimension, another reality? Hit the jackpot, people. He had no way to let this one out. This is the biggie. We've hit the biggie. Praise Bob.
1 Kings 22:50.
Second Kings 8:17-19.
You wanna fuck? Let's fuck.
The Tree of Life ain't what it seems to be.
The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be.
Tree of Life is on the
mango tree, right there in front of me.
Seal, you know that Mitch from another world, right? You know that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this acanthus, the whole Garden of Eden is a transplanted hologram.
We're just trying to get y'all some last thing for Pete's sake. Y'all making this hard. We've only said it every way we can say it for Pete's sake.
Not true. You always keep quoting the Bible.
So,
and are there also irises at the base of the Tree of Life?
Calla lilies, not irises.
Lovely.
Lovely, yeah.
You're putting us to sleep, Sheila, yeah.
Seafoam green calla lilies?
The ones that have that seafoam green shade. Tint.
Huh.
Seafoam green tint.
Huh.
Lovely.
How's your sex life, Sheila? Tell us.
Well, we know she doesn't have any. She hasn't had any for years. She makes up stories, but she's basically a nun.
Well, the stories work. Nuns can
tell. She's good
at
describing what she could have had.
Oh, okay. There you go. It's so precise.
It's very lovely.
If you get Sheila into a tavern playing blues, she's on her back pretty quickly.
Sleep on your back,
Sheila,
or somebody
into a room
else
playing
will.
Into a band playing blues. Anywhere, Sheila is very amenable to that milieu.
I actually am, yeah.
And I never, you never told me that. I assessed that based on your diary revelations to me.
Mea culpa.
Last week you said that gods create in the echo of the burning bush.
Yes.
Can you describe more of what that echo is?
Well, of course. Bob, cue up the Chuck Wagon Gang and play it for it right there.
No,
you stole into it. Come on, Bob, let's go. Bum a note.
What do you think, Sheila? It'll interrupt your time.
No, but it'll answer the question.
No, why don't I just bring up... Hey, got your computer? Sheila, just bring up the lyrics. Because that's what you're going to go by, not the music, right?
I've got the lyrics. Do you want me to read them?
Okay, yeah, read them.
No, we wanted to hear the Chuck Wagon Gang.
Well, that's the song, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you want to hear them, but we are only into the words. He's just making this up. He just wants to hear the song. He's going to pretend the words fit.
Oh, okay. No.
He asked for it. We didn't. And we can play the damn song if we want to.
Hey, there's an obscure message from MJ probably hours ago. Location, World 1, we hope. Message, allow us to gain precise assiduity in regards to interaction with very close parallel versions of one of our other selves. This world or others. You know, I detect a version close. Bob, keep your wits about you on the plane. Non-physical use that tone. Best wishes. So it's a fucking death threat from MJ. All right, very good. We'll note that. Okay, back to your question, Sheila.
I want you to play the song.
No, we'll just read the lyrics. So whoever said they had the lyrics, read them.
It says, Moses stood on holy ground, far from God, fire from, there's that word, far from God, descended down, set the roadside bush on fire. Then the Lord did there explain, through his servant should remain, all the echoes from the bush on fire. Oh, the echoes from the bush. I hear those lovely echoes from the burning bush. How they thrill my soul and how they thrill my soul. Oh, the echoes from the burning bush. I hear those thrilling echoes from the burning bush. Point me to the goal. I no more am doubting, but with joy I am shouting. With no thought of shame to blush, this my song shall ever be. Words that are so sweet to me, echoes from the burning bush. God sent down his only son, just to ransom everyone, by the echoes from the fire. God of every earthly land, would not pick nor choose a man, for his blood will save us from the fire, eternal fire.
Who read that?
Kim.
Kim, okay. So, does that tell us anything, Sheila?
The echoes from the burning bush. Oh, the echoes from the burning bush.
Moses stood on holy ground. God from God descended down. Set the roadside bush on fire.
The bush on fire, and was
then the Lord did there explain. Through his servants should remain. All the echoes from the bush on fire.
Oh, the echoes from the bush. Joy I'm shouting,
with no thought of shame to blush, how shame to blush.
This my song shall ever be,
words that are so sweet to me, echoes from the burning bush.
Oh, the echoes from the bush.
How they thrill my soul.
Joy I'm shouting,
with no thought of shame to blush, how shame to blush.
This my song shall ever be,
words that are so sweet to me, echoes from the burning bush.
The Chuck Wagon Gang.
Was it? I didn't hear that.
That's what we were listening to.
They were good. They were good. You know, before color TV and all that, they had resonance. Good, deep voices.
You can't say colored. They get mad when you say nigger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. That's right.
But now Yo Gotti can get away with it.